It's here and now, and after years of delay, the trial of the Army psychiatrist Major Nidal Hassan is underway in Fort Hood, Texas. Guards with assault rifles stand watch outside the courthouse, the building almost entirely hidden by 15-foot-tall stacks of heavy, shock-absorbing barriers that extend to the roofline. Major Hassan is representing himself at the court-martial in which he's charged with murder and attempted murder for the 2009 attack that left 13 people dead and more than 30 others wounded. He briefly laid out his defense as he addressed jurors today, saying, "The evidence will clearly show that I am the shooter," adding that the evidence would also show that we are imperfect Muslims trying to establish the perfect religion. "I apologize for any mistakes I made in this endeavor." From the Here and Now Contributors Network, KUT's Nathan Bernier takes a look back at the events that led to this moment.
The shooting happened on November 5th, 2009. It was a Thursday. Around 1:30 in the afternoon, soldiers at Fort Hood were in a readiness center doing paperwork, receiving health assessments, and getting ready to leave their families for war. But then someone walked into the room and brought the war to them. Private First Class Marques Smith was sitting in a cubicle nearby, going over some medical paperwork.
When I heard the gunshots, it didn't sound like gunshots. It sounded like popcorn being popped in the microwave. That's what it sounded like to me.
Attention! Seek shelter immediately.
In a few minutes, the shooter fired more than 200 rounds from an FN-57 pistol equipped with two laser sights, according to witness testimony. He wasn't stopped until he left the Soldier Readiness Center and engaged in a firefight with two police officers. At first, Kimberly Munley was credited with stopping the shooter. But then another police officer, Mark Todd, said he fired the shots that stopped him. The final version of that story remains unclear. And for several hours afterward, military officials said the suspect, Nidal Hassan, was dead. Then, the commanding general of Fort Hood, Robert Cohn, stepped in front of a group of reporters and said this.
"He was not killed as previously reported. He is currently in custody and in stable condition. I say again, the shooter is not dead, but in custody and in stable condition."
Meanwhile, guards stood outside a hospital room at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Inside, Hassan lay in a bed paralyzed on a ventilator. A few days after he came to, Hassan was charged with 13 counts of premeditated murder and 32 counts of attempted murder under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That makes him eligible to receive the death penalty if convicted, a punishment that hasn't been meted out by a military court since 1961.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
President Obama went to Fort Hood for a memorial and tried to provide some emotional relief for the family members of the people killed.
"Their lives speak to the strength, the dignity, the decency of those who serve. And that's how they will be remembered."
The family members of the victims had their own ways of trying to understand the tragedy. Mike Cahill was the only civilian killed in the shooting. At the family home in Cameron, Texas, his adult daughter Carrie found comfort in an Irish folk ballad her dad used to play when she was a kid.
"There's a great chorus line, and it says, 'And the tears of the people ran together.' And so I think that when you have so much tragedy and so much grief, the people who are affected by it are often the people who do not control what happens."
"And the tears of the people ran together. There were roses, roses, there were roses."
Nidal Hassan was born and raised in Virginia to Palestinian parents who emigrated from the West Bank. He joined the Army right out of high school in 1988, served for 8 years as an enlisted soldier while completing his undergraduate degree from Virginia Tech. He went on to earn a medical degree and work as a psychiatrist at Walter Reed Medical Center. But even then, there were warning signs about Hassan. An investigation by NPR after the shootings found there were a series of worried meetings and conversations about Hassan starting in 2007. Officials wondered what they should do about Hassan and if he could harm someone. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling spoke to sources who wished to remain anonymous because they weren't authorized to discuss the matter with reporters.
"When I ask people to describe Hassan, they keep using the same words. It's interesting. Disconnected, aloof, a loner, belligerent, and sometimes super polite. Well, then in January 2008, Hassan turned in a paper that really got people worried because they thought it was basically a disjointed religious diatribe, and some key officials sat around wondering, could he be descending into psychosis?
So why wasn't Hassan relieved of his duties? Officials told Zwerdling it was a long and cumbersome bureaucratic process, and some of his superiors were worried they might be discriminating against Hassan on the basis of his seemingly extreme religious beliefs. Plus, they didn't actually have any hard evidence against him. But those reasons were insufficient for United States Senator Joe Lieberman, who helped lead an investigation after the shooting. His report found the Department of Defense and the FBI had no information to anticipate that specific attack, but together, he said, they had enough information to have detected Hassan's radicalization to violent Islamist extremism. However, they failed to act on it.
The FBI actually had information that a member of the United States military was in communication with a target of their own terrorist investigation and did not pursue its investigation of that lead or notify the Defense Department.
The criticisms raised were similar to those leveled after the 9/11 attacks. Ineffective communication among government agencies. The FBI says it has implemented changes since then to address the problems raised in the report.
Good morning. I'm Colonel Diane Battaglia. I am the Third Corps spokeswoman.
Back at Fort Hood in June 2010, Nidal Hassan made his first courtroom appearance after the shooting. Battaglia was briefing reporters on the Article 32 hearing, which was supposed to determine if there was enough evidence to proceed with the court-martial.
This morning at Fort Hood, Colonel James Pohl, the Article 32 investigating officer for the Major Nidal Hassan hearings, granted the defense motion to delay the Article 32 proceedings until 4 October.
It was the first of what would be many delays. Hassan's then-attorney John Galligan said he did not have enough documents to mount a proper defense. Those included Hassan's military records, FBI files on Hassan's alleged contact with a radical Yemeni cleric, and some government reviews of the shooting.
We're at a point in time where we're trying to get relevant material evidence for purposes of being able to prepare for this case. And I'll be honest with you, if sometimes that evidence is not provided when it's deemed relevant and material, the trial isn't going to happen.
But now the trial is going to happen, even as the delays have been excruciating for family members of the victims and people who lived on post on the day of the massacre. Yes, Hassan will be able to keep his beard in violation of Army grooming regulations. That legal question delayed the trial for months. And no, Hassan will not be allowed to use a so-called defense of others argument that he was acting to defend the Taliban leadership in Afghanistan.
That's Nathan Bernier from Here and Now contributor station KUT in Austin, Texas. Again, court-martial proceedings against Army Major Hassan started today. The trial's expected to last for months.
Well, in California, a teen abduction is testing a relatively new emergency alert system. That sound played on phones throughout California last night when an Amber Alert was issued for Ethan and Hannah Anderson, who were reportedly abducted in San Diego. People were jolted out of their sleep, went straight to Twitter wondering what had happened. FEMA runs the alert system and is trying to use new technology to keep people informed during emergencies. But some local officials tell the AP they are worried that the alert is so disruptive, especially late at night, that some people may simply turn off the alerts. News is next, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Olin College of Engineering, working to revolutionize engineering education at olin.edu. And the Cancer Center at Beth Israel Deaconess, where researchers are working to discover new ways of diagnosing and treating a variety of cancers. BIDMC.org/cancercenter.